take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. They ought to be falling open in Matthew as long as we've stayed there. We're continuing our messages on the Sermon on the Mount. Been a long time since I've seen this microphone. It's like an old friend with his rubber band here. So, good stuff, amen? Good stuff. Traveling light, that's what we need to be doing. Kind of reminds me of the Neil Young song there, The River. I kind of brought back memories there. I won't say fond, but memories anyway. Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 12. Last week we started, if some of you folks that are ADD on taking notes, remember I kind of scrapped the message last week and did something that God laid on my heart, just kind of spontaneous, what God does that sometimes. This week we've kind of gone back to that sermon. We're talking about prayer. Hear my prayer. Prayer is something that's very important. The reason it is this. You need to understand is there's right two main ways that we really get to know God, and that's through Bible, reading the Bible and studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible. We stay in the Word of God, and that gets us to know God. It shows us the attributes of God, the character of God. And the other is prayer, spending time in prayer with God, and God communicating with us and us communicating with Him. And prayer is a two-way thing. We talk to God, but God talks to us, and He talks to us through our spirit. I've never heard God audibly. A lot of people say he speaks louder than it, okay? God speaks in our spirit. And so he lays things on our hearts, and he reveals truth to us and directions and things like that. And so when it comes to prayer, a lot of people are lost. They don't believe their prayers get above the ceilings. They don't experience the prayer life, the vital prayer life that God wants us to have. And so a lot of people are lost. And so today is a lot of teaching. It's some instructional things here. Maybe what's standing in the way of you communicating with God. There's some things there. Listen, we worship a holy God. Amen? God is loving, God is gracious, God is kind. He's all those different things, but we worship a holy God, and we have to realize that. And we don't come to Him any way we want to. It's a special thing to come into the presence of God. When we go into prayer, we talked about last week, we're talking about we're going on holy ground there. And so it's holy ground that we step on every time we lift our lives up to God and go to Him in prayer. And so in the text here, we're going to see that, and then we're going to kind of break it down and look at some different things about it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And it says, and knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, if you just stop there, then it's kind of like an anything goes, okay? And a lot of people stop there. It's like, well, man, all I got to do is just pray and everything's going to happen. And, well, we go on and there's more to it. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Verse 11, if you though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give gifts to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look at this section of Scripture here today, dear God, and if we don't put it in the right context, then God, it can be just kind of like we got a blank check and we can just ask for anything and going to get it, Lord. And God, if we don't get it, then we're disappointed or we think something's wrong. And that's not what Scripture teaches us, God. This is just a small portion of Scripture, and God, help us to line it up with other Scripture and put it in the proper context. And God, because we want to be people of prayer. God, we come to You crying out because we're desperate people in need, God, and we know that You are the need meter. God, You're the one that we depend on for the very breath of air that we have, God, in our lungs today, dear God. And so the drink of water that we have is a gift of Yours. And sometimes we overlook those things. We overlook the blessings of life, God, because sometimes we just look for the big things. And God, help us to realize that even the very essence of life, it comes from You, God. So, God, as we look at this about prayer today, God, let us be prayer warriors. God, that's what You call us to be, God. You want to have that time with us. You want to have that intimate contact with us, Lord, as we come to You asking and seeking, and God, just spending time with You, Lord. That's what You're a good Father, and God, You want to spend time with us. And God, give us that desire to spend time with You. So, God, use this message to better equip us, better help us understand how that we can have a better prayer life, Lord. We love and we praise You, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. So when I pray, do I expect an answer? That's the question we are asking today in the top. When I pray, do I expect an answer? Well, let's clear this up right here. I like to clear this up on the front when we talk about prayer. God always gives an answer. It's not always the answer we want. The answer that God gives is sometimes yes, and that's the one we hear, and that's the one we praise Him, and that's the one we tell everybody about. The answer sometimes is no. We don't like that. You know, we're sometimes disappointed, but the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is wait. But God always answers our prayer. God is the answer of prayer. So, but what we have to understand is, and we talked more about this last week, is this, is that God doesn't always answer in our way. He always answers the best way. Amen? See, what we have to understand, your faith has to get you to a point in your life where you trust God more than you do yourself. Because, see, I'm just telling you, if I look back over my prayer life and you look back over your prayer life, I'm glad that God didn't answer some of my prayers. We have to ask ourselves that, because we pray sometimes selfishly. We pray what we want and what we think is the best idea and all those things. And God doesn't see it. God sees everything. And so we have to come, when we really get satisfied in prayer, is when we realize that God knows a whole lot more than we do. And He can see those things out there that's best for us. And so we have to understand that we're coming to Him as children, asking our Father to do what's best for us. And that's the essence of prayer. And when we don't get that and we don't understand that, then we're thinking somehow or another we're going to twist God's arm to get what we want. You don't want to do that, okay? You don't want to do that. Sometimes God allows that in people's lives. You can go back through the scripture where they were begging for this and begging for that and crying out to God. And God was telling them, this is not what you want. This is not what you need. Give you an illustration. This is Saul. Remember, Israel wanted a king, okay? And what did the prophet say? He says, you don't need a king. You've got Jehovah. You've got God. He's all you need. But we want a king because why? Because everybody else has got one. Well, what did God finally do? We're going to give you one. Here's old Saul, okay? And if you go back and research that, you see the results of what happened to Israel and how it walked away from the things of God because of that, okay? And so sometimes we have to understand that God knows far more than we do, and we just have to trust Him in matters of our lives and realize that He's got a purpose and a direction for our lives, and He's allowing things and putting things in our lives to get us to where He wants us to be, that we may bring glory and honor to His name, okay? And so what kinds of prayers are they? Well, we call it prayer of submission, where we submit ourselves to God. He's higher than we are. He's holy and we're not, okay? We come to confession, a time of confession, where we know that there's things against us in God. There's sin in our lives, and so we begin to confess. Then we come to intercession, where we're interceding for other people. We have that, here, we come in here at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights, and we have our prayer sheet, and you see those prayer sheets in your bulletin there, and those are not just to make airplanes out of, okay? That's to pray for. There's people that you have serious problems in our church and people that we care about and love that have serious problems. There's someone almost every week that's brought up that has cancer. We talked about a one-year-old baby this morning that has cancer. Can you imagine what that family going through and all that? So they need our prayers. They covet our prayers. And so it's a prayer of intercession as we pray for other people. And then there's also, here's what we get into most time, there's a prayer of petition, which means that we're asking God for something. God, I want this, okay? God, I need this. And the problem in our country today and in ourselves today is I think we can't distinguish what I need and what I want anymore, okay? And so it's all times the things that we pray for are not things that we really need in life. There's things that we really want in life. And so, there's not anything wrong with asking God for things that you want, okay? There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that. But you need to be clear about it, okay? God, this is not something I really need in life. I understand it, but this is something I really want in life. And I think that God allows us to have those things in life because He wants us to enjoy life, okay? But there's some criteria, there's some boundaries around prayer, and that's what I want to bring out today. Pray and ask and everything ought to be all right. That's not how it is, okay? And in James chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8, it says this, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. See, wisdom is a gift that God gives us. Wisdom is a gift that God gives us. Faith is a gift that God gives us. And so we ask God for those things, okay? But then we act on those things. It says, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. There is the problem. It says, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And so a lot of times the problem is, as we get into this, we're going to see, a lot of times the problem is us doubting God. That we just don't believe that God cares enough, or we don't believe that God's able enough, that we don't believe that God considers us enough to even do what we ask Him to do. And that's not true. That's not true at all. And we have to understand that. And so what we're looking at today is we're looking at the conditions of prayer. And so the thing that I'm doing, we're going to get, and you're going to see right, we're going to see the word right through here. So it's getting right with God. It's getting right with God. It's getting on His terms. He lays it out. He makes the rules, okay? We don't do that. He's God. We're not. That's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to get in line with that. And you've got to confess, God, I'm not. You know what's best, and here we are. Here's my request. Here's my petition. Here's my intercession. Here's all these things. But God, I know you know better than I do. So number one is we're in right fellowship with God. in a right fellowship with God. When we get saved, I told you, we ended our message last week with this. So what's the first prayer that God hears from somebody that's lost? It's the prayer of salvation, that when we come to the Father. See, we need to realize this. It's kind of a family secret, but not everybody's a children of God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're not a child of God. You're a child of the enemy, which is the devil. And we don't like to tell people that. It's like, you're being mean-spirited, but that's just the truth, okay? And so what we do is when we come to God, when we begin to lift up our prayers to God, the first prayer that God hears from a lost person is the prayer of salvation. Because why? Because that brings us into the family. That brings in that relationship with Him, okay? And so we get saved, and that gives us access to God. Jesus Christ is now our high priest, and so now we're doing what? We're praying through the Spirit, what? And Jesus is seated at the right-hand side of the Father doing what? Making what? Intercession for us. So that means Jesus is praying for us, okay? Look at the book of Hebrews. That's why we don't have a priestly order. That's why we don't have a confessional booth up here, and you come in and telling me all your problems and saying, you know, pray to God for me, because you can pray to God just like I can, amen? We can. That's the Holy Spirit interceding, and Jesus is doing what? He's lifting up those prayers to us, to the Father. And so we have that access. And what gives us that access is when we have a relationship with God. When we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, that gives us access to the Father. And so the first prayer is to bring in that relationship. But now, most of us in here are saved, okay? Not all of us, but most of us in our saved. But now the thing we're talking about is a right fellowship with God. Now, so what we're saying here is this. When we have that relationship with God, sin does what? Sin can break that fellowship we have with God. It breaks away that fellowship we have with God, where God doesn't hear our prayers. God doesn't answer our prayers, okay, like we want Him to. Because why? Because we have sin separates us from God. Even in that relationship, it does what? We lose fellowship with God. Listen to some of these verses here. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says this. If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so sin would cherish. So what we need to do is we have to start out properly when it comes to prayer. We do what? We come out with a prayer of confession, God. And when you start praying, there ought to be a method that you have. And we'll see this in just a minute. And I'm not saying that you can't be open with it, can't be, you know, kind of free-spirited about your prayer. But there needs to be a time that when we get right with God, and it's a prayer of confession. And so it's saying, God, if there's anything that has got me out of fellowship with You, then you'll bring that to me and let me confess that. Let me repent of that and get it out of the way. And so it's a time of confession. There's a time of repentance. And then we get into the asking. Then we get into the interceding. Then we get into the petitioning, asking of God. And so get right with God, okay? Get right. And it brings us what? It brings us into fellowship with God. Sin's like a roadblock to prayer. And so there's a prayer of confession. Then there's a prayer of repentance. And then there's a process of getting into prayer. Listen to this, Proverbs 28 and verse 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, and we know that's Scripture, he says what? Even his prayers are detestable. Think about it, detestable. You know, that's what it says. And so, because sin separates us from God, when we hold on to sin, what does it? Don't expect God to honor our prayers. He'll hear our prayers, but don't expect Him to honor. It's just like a disobedient child. When my boys, they disobey me, then what? I punish them. I discipline them. Because why? Because I love them. And so I wasn't, you know, they wasn't going out here and doing something disrespectful or doing something wrong and me giving them what they wanted. Because why? Because I was somewhat disciplined. I was teaching them there's a right and there's a wrong, and you know, there's boundaries. And listen, anytime you have any relationship, there's always got to be boundaries in it. Love has boundaries. Your children, if you love your children, you have boundaries in those things. And you have to understand. And God has boundaries to us, and those boundaries keep us in fellowship with Him. And so when we hold on to sin, it does what? That God doesn't honor our prayers. And faith, when we have the faith, is we want to get back right with God. We have a prayer of faith, and faith is praying like God's listening to us. We're saying things like Heavenly Father and Abba and Daddy and all these things, and it's like a child speaking to their father. It's like a child speaking to someone they know that's over them. And so it's not, our prayers don't have to be polished. You don't have to pray in the King James English. You don't have to do those, you know. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong, but I'm just saying that a lot of people say, well, I just don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You know how to talk. And all praying is talking to God. But we get right with God, get into fellowship with God, and then we just talk to God just like we would to anyone. We talk to God, okay? And we need to realize that Psalms teach us that. I love the Psalms, and the reason I love the Psalms is Psalms are songs, but a lot of them are prayer songs. And it's David and others crying out to God, and they're doing it raw. They're doing it. It's very, a lot of times it's harsh. Sometimes it's they're pointing the finger at God. And so you see them in a very raw moment of their lives where it's like the gloves come off and it's like, God, why are you allowing this? Why are you putting me in this situation? And we see how they come and pray before God. And what it is, there's a sense of honesty about it. See, you think that you come to prayer and you say, well, I don't want to say that to God because it might hurt his feelings. Listen, God already knows your heart, okay? You don't have to worry about saying, he already knows your heart. And so what? Be honest with God. Listen, that's what God wants. And sometimes we're mad at God. Sometimes we're angry with God. I mean, we know that God is in control, and we understand he could have done something about that. He could have stopped that accident, or he could have stopped that loss of job, or he could have stopped that situation, health issue in my life. He could have done that. And sometimes we're angry with God, and that's okay. Listen, God's got big shoulders. He can handle your anger, okay? And you need to realize that. And when we're in right fellowship, God honors those prayers. Because why? Because it's being honest with him. And faith is praying like God's listening. And it's like we know God. You know, the summer series we're going to have coming up here in a few weeks is I Surrender series. And my take on that is, you know God. And when you know God, you trust God. And when you trust God, you love God. And when you love God, you obey God. And when you obey God, you serve God. And so a lot of people don't know how to pray to God because they really don't know God. They know about him. They have some kind of an experience. They know about him. They've heard of him. They read him. But they don't really know God. It's you have that personal relationship, and you're spending time with God, and you're getting to know him. And when you get to know him, then you'll want to be honest with him. And you'll want to be honest with him. So you know God, and you have a reverence for God. You have a trust for God. And then it makes you what? It makes you comfortable asking God for things. And going to God and speaking to God. So it's the right fellowship. You have to be in the right fellowship with God. It's one of the first things I do is when I begin to pray and say, God, you know, if there's anything separating us, is there anything in my life, show me those things. And God will. God's not beating around the bush with you. He's not trying to hide anything from you. If there's sin in your life, he's going to put the finger on it. If there's not any sin in your life, listen, you need to realize this. If there's not any sin in your life that you're holding on to and you feel bad about it, let me tell you what, that's of the devil. Because, listen, God's not going to say, you know, just going to throw out a blanket. If there's sin in your life, God's going to point it out, and he's going to say, deal with this right here. And you know what we say? Well, that's not that big a deal. We always think of somebody else. Well, man, so-and-so, they're doing a whole lot. But see, God's got something specifically for our lives, and he might want something cleaned up in your life that might not be what? That you might not see bothering anybody else, but he wants it cleaned up in your life. So he's saying what? To get into fellowship, we've got to get cleaned up before God. And we do that through confession and repentance and turning our lives back over to God. The second thing is right motives. We have to have the right motives, okay? And so in James 4 and verse 3, listen to this verse here. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so there's a selfishness about prayer. If all your prayer is God give me, God bless me, it's all about me, okay, then there's a selfishness about it. It's about your own pleasure, your own wants in life. And so it's getting things out. And so our right motive is getting things out in the open before God. And our motive is to be in obedience with God and to glorify God. Matthew 5 and 16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before men that you may see your good deeds and listen and praise your Father in heaven. My life should bring praise to God. My obedience to God brings praise to God. Other people should see Jesus through me. Other people should see that there's something different about me, not because I'm peculiar, but because of I'm unique and I handle things differently and I deal with things and I see things differently because of my relationship with God. And when I go to prayer, it's for the right motives and it's because I want to honor God and praise God. And that's what it's telling us here. It says what? It says to bring praise to your Father in heaven. And our life is to be lived to bring praise to God. And so a lot of times what it is we pray out of a sense of greed and not need. We pray out of a sense of lust and not love. And it's over a very self, we're very selfish with our prayers and life becomes all about me. There's a constant conflict with that. Why is that true? Because we want to be our God. We want to be in control. You go back into Genesis chapter 3. What did he tempt Eve with? He says what? You'll be what? Like God. You'll be like God. Listen, every one of us is still battling that battle. We all have our own goals, our aspirations. We all have our own drive about life. We all think we have a road that we want to walk down. But we need to make sure that it's the same one that God wants us to walk down. And so what happens is the devil kind of keeps pulling us away and say, oh, you can have this or you can do this. Where God knows that's not what's for us. And that's not what's going to get us where we need to be, where he wants us to be in life. And so we're selfish. And praying Praying is saying to what, God, I'm desperate for you, and I'm looking, I'm longing for you, and I need you in this situation. I need you in this moment of my life. It brings us to it. And see, that's why God allows us to be in difficult situations. God never tempts us, but he tests us in life. And he allows those things in our life. We're living in a cursed world, and he allows that curse, part of the curse, to touch our lives sometimes with maybe a health issue or a death situation or something like that. And it shakes us, and it gets us to our knees. Let me tell you what, your knees is the best place to be. Your knees is the best place to be, because it gets you to your lowliest, your lowest point, to where you say, God, I can't do anything without you. And God says, right, and that's where I want you at. Because, see, you really can't do anything without me anyway. Like I said earlier, the very breath that you have in your lungs is a gift that God gives you, and we just take that for granted until you don't have any. The very water you have, you know, the very water that we drink every day is a gift of God until we don't have any. And then we realize how desperate we are for those things and how involved God is in our lives, even for the basic things of life that we take for granted. But we have those things, and God brings things in our lives sometimes that shake us and rattle us and get us to our knees, because why? He wants to be real to us again. He wants to be real to us again. The third thing is this: it's the right method. The right method. Now, here, the right method is what it's being specific. You know, you know those blanket prayers, you know, now lay me down to sleep, you know, God is good, God is great, you know, those prayers are, you know, put some, God bless us. Well, when you say God bless us, how do you know that he blesses us? You know, I mean, if you're not specific about something. And so I heard a preacher say one time, if you're going to pray for ice cream, you know, pray for your favorite kind. So I'm going to pray for, you know, butter pecan. So God give me a gallon of butter pecan. So if I get a gallon of butter pecan, I know God blessed me that day, okay? But be specific in your prayers and have a prayer journal. I have a prayer journal, and I don't do it as often as I should, but Charles Stanley really pushes this. He really pushes. And why do you have a prayer channel, a prayer journal? It's because God answers a lot of prayers later in life and late in his timing, and you've done forgot about you. You've even asked him for it, see? It's so interesting. I'll take mine, and every now and then I have it in my office back there, and I'll take it. And I've been doing it for years now, and I'll take it every now and then and start back and start reading some of the prayers. Eventually, sometimes it's tears, because it brings back memories of something I was praying about, a very hard time in my life or my family's life or the church's life or something like that. So it's emotional sometimes, but also what you see is you think back and you get to look back at how God answered that prayer. And God answered that with this person or this situation or this is what happened. And it brings back, and when I get through it, when I lay that down, and it's big so I don't go through it, I'll just go through a couple of pages at a time every now and then, you know. And when I lay that down, you know what it does? It gives me more faith in God, because I'm like, God, you did answer that. You did answer that. I mean, I've done forgot about that. I forgot about that situation. Because why? Because God handled it on his own time and his own will and his own way. And he did a far better job than I could have ever done. And so that's why I don't even remember it anymore. And so I encourage you to have a prayer journal and be specific when you answer things. Write those things down and then watch and see how God answers those things. Because there's things going on in your life right now that you think there's no way out of, that you think there's no end to. But God's got a plan, and he's working things in. He's working things out in your life right now. So write that down. Just put a date by it. And a lot of people go back and fill it in. I never do that. I'm just praying and saying, God, this is my needs, and I never go back and fill it in. I should have, you know. But God brings back to my memory how he worked those things out, and he will in your life also. And so be specific in our asking. Be thankful. God answers in his time and in his way and for his glory. And God is looking for what? What is God looking for? I said this earlier. God is looking for us to be honest with him. When we hurt, let God know that. That's why I like the Psalms. The Psalms are honest. So, when God's looking for honesty, he's looking for truth. He's looking for it to be personal. He's not looking for just a blanket statement. He's not looking for just a God bless us. He's looking for something specific. And that's what that's why the prayer sheet's given out to you for every week. That prayer sheet is updated weekly, and different names are put on there, and people are, you know, we move people names up and people go over to the praise report and things like that. And that's what it is, because there's specific needs in our church, and people are hurting, people have problems, and people have difficulties, and we're a family. Amen. And we need to be praying for each other. It shows our love and care and concern for each other. And when you walk in, there's a lot of times you'll say, I'll say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for so-and-so. And maybe you don't realize how I know that. I know that because somebody puts you on the prayer sheet, or somebody you care about on the prayer sheet. And because we care about those people. And we want to be a part of the answer and part of being a blessing to that person's life through praying for those people as God shows us how to do that. The fourth thing is this. Not only the right method, but also the right request. In 1 John 5 and verse 14, it says this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask according to His will, He hears us. Now here's where it's at, okay? When you're in right relationship and fellowship with God, what happens is it puts you in what we call walking in the Spirit. Now that's not something mystical that you just kind of, ooh, kind of Casper the Ghost kind of stuff. Walking in the Spirit is being in agreement with God. That you're being in agreement with God. You're on the same page with God, okay? You're seeing things like God does. I mean, sometimes, you know, if you ever get around people that are lost and they begin to talk about something and the way they see something, the way you see it, is far different. You wonder why. It's because they lost. They don't have spiritual eyes. But sometimes that's true of Christians. Because why? Because they're not in the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit with God. And they don't see truth. And so they begin to live out lies because why? They're not walking in the truth. They're not walking in the Spirit. But when we're walking in the Spirit, it's keeping us in step with God. It's keeping us on the same page with God. And what it does to our prayer life, it's asking things that God would ask for if He was in our situation. You know? And basically that's what you're doing. Is you're coming to God and saying, God, I really don't know what I need, but I know You do. And I want whatever You want, it's what I want. This is where you get. I learned this a long time ago. Learned this from Charles Stanley a long time ago. Read a book on prayer. Many of you have read that book because I've given you that book. You've come and counseled with me. And I've got a book. It's old. It's really old. And you'll see it's marked up and all those things. It's on prayer. And one of the things that Charles Stanley taught in that book was when you're really right with God and when you're in really fellowship with God, this is where you'll get in your prayer request. Regardless of what it is, this is where you'll get to a neutral state. Some of you have read that book. Remember that? You'll get to a neutral state. And this is what a neutral state is. God, whatever You want. God, whatever You want. And you know what you're saying? God, I trust You. That's what you're saying. God, I trust You. You know, I trust You more than I trust myself. I trust You more than I trust anybody else. And so, God, I mean, here's my prayer request. This is what I think I need, okay? And when you're walking in the Spirit, God will even direct that. He'll give you a direction about, He'll give you direction of what you pray and according to His will. And when you begin to pray in His will, whatever, He'll begin to direct you in that, and you'll begin to ask for what God would ask for if He was in that situation also. Why? Because you trust Him now. So we're selfish at times, and we want what we want. And we want, listen, you know what most people ask for in prayer? Take the pain away. Take the problem away. So they don't claim promises, they just focus on the problem. That's what most of us do in prayer. We're not claiming promises. We're not really wanting to praise God. What we're doing is, God, this is my problem, and this is how I want You to fix it. Okay, and what you think is that God says what? If God doesn't say yes, then He doesn't answer at all. That's how most people think, and that's not true. God does answer our prayers, and we have to understand that He does those things. So it's a right request according to His will and His conditions, because He's a loving, caring Father, and getting neutral and desiring God's will more than mine. This is the key. This is what I try to test myself. God, I want You more than I want it. Amen? God, I want You more than I want it. That's where we have to be. That's a neutral situation when it comes to prayer. God, I want You. I want Your will. I want what You want more than I want what I want. And that's where we have to be in prayer, to ever get neutral with God, okay? That's where we need to be in prayer, is have that right request before God. And so it's claiming His promises. It's being in center with His will and not just focused on the problem with our lives all the time. And so it's the right kind of request. And the last thing, the fifth thing is this. It's the right attitude. So we're getting right with God. Prayer is getting right with God. Start out with confession. Start out with repentance. Then we get into intercession. Then we get into petition. We get into all those things there. But we need to start out because God, we're wanting God to search us, as the Scripture says. Search us and know Me, and know if there's anything in me that needs to be removed. And so God searches us, and He looks in our hearts. And what it does, it brings us in that right fellowship. And then we get into accordance with His will, and we're walking in the Spirit. And then He begins to lay out these things for us. It brings us into a right attitude of His. So it's not a selfishness. It's a God thing. James 1 and verse 7 says that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Because why? It says he was a double-minded man. He didn't have faith in God. He didn't believe God. He didn't really trust God. It lays it out again in James 4, 3. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you have the wrong motives, is what he says. And then he goes on, he says what? That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so what is our motive? See, our motives, our motives and our attitude towards God matters. You see, a lot of people, they are looking for just the right request. But what we have to understand is that God is looking why we're requesting it. It's not just the right request, it's also why are you requesting that? What are you going to use it for? What do you need it for? You know, is it going to honor me? Is it going to glorify my name? Is it going to push me out in front of people? See, we're to make much of God. We're to make much of Jesus Christ. That's our lives are to be lived like that. And so when we're not doing that, we need to understand that we're doing it with the wrong attitude. And so we're desiring God and we're wanting God more than anything else. And so it's having a passion. And so last week when we talked about it, this is what we said. Our passion when we pray is, it's a prayer from the heart and not from the head. And there's a difference. And God sees that difference. And so when we're really praying, it's a prayer from our heart. And God can see the passion that comes out of it. We have a passion for Him. And we have a passion for what He desires and a passion for what He wants out of our lives. And so it's not just a head thing and me trying to think up some things to say or pray. It's just for I can check that off my list and say, well, I had my prayer time or I had my quiet time or I had my Bible study today. God's not interested in that. He knows why you have it. He knows the motives of it. He knows your attitudes towards those things. He's looking for something from a compassionate heart and a passion. And faith is not believing in something. It's believing in someone. And so if we pray with passion, it's a prayer of faith. And it's not praying just about something. We're realizing it's about someone. It's about God. And we have to realize that in our lives. And it brings us closer to Him in our time of prayer. And so I said this last week. It's asking God for His will to be done on earth, not my will to be done in heaven. That's what true prayer is. It's asking for God what God's will would be done on earth, not my will on earth, but His will in heaven. And so I want what God wants for my life. And there has to be a time in your life where you really have to know God to get to that point. Because see, if you don't really know Him, then you really don't trust Him. And if you really don't trust Him, you really don't love Him. If you really don't love Him, you won't obey Him. If you don't obey Him, you're never going to serve Him. So if you're sitting here today and you're sitting on your hands and you're calling this the service, I don't know why we call this the service, okay? We come here to worship. We don't, you know, and so you're saying, well, I did my service today. No, you hadn't. No, you go out there to do your service, okay? And you're not serving God, let me tell you what comes all the way back to you don't really know Him. And why do I know that's true? Because if you know the God that I know, you're going to trust Him. If you trust Him, you're going to love Him. And you're going to want to obey Him. And you're going to want to do something for Him. So our motto here is I don't have to do it, I get to. And why? Because we know the God that we're getting to serve, see? We know the God that we're getting to serve. And we get to be a part of that. He gives an example here in Mark chapter 4, and he gives an illustration of prayer here in Mark chapter 9, and it may be one that's familiar with it. We have this father, this father that really loves his child, okay, and he brings him to Jesus, and Jesus he's right up above that he kind of rebukes him. It's basically saying he's telling God, man, I'm about tired, I'm about ready to leave this place, okay. And now, you know, so we have to realize. The most of us are in ministry for a long period of time. Jesus' ministry was only how many years? 3, okay? And if you go back and look above this a little bit, you'll say, basically saying, God, just take me out of this mess. I'm tired of these folks, okay? Well, I think we all say that sometimes, okay? Well, here comes another person needing something from Jesus. And he's bringing his son here. And we're kind of picking it up here in verse 20. So Mark 9, verse 20. So they brought him, talking about the boy, they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. In verse 22, it says, it has often thrown him into the fire and the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And here's the question, verse 23. Here's our question. Here's Jesus' question to us. If you can, you know, if you can. He said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You say, God, I want to believe. I got a situation in my life, you know. It's a relational thing. It's a health thing. It's a financial thing. It's something in my life. And God, I really want to believe you in this. Maybe you're in the same position that this father's in, you know. And what Jesus says, he says, if you believe. And here's the prayer of the Father. Maybe this is your prayer today. God, help me with my unbelief. Help me with my doubts. Help me. You know, help me in this situation because I want to be where you're at in this, okay? I want to be where you're at in this. And then he goes on in verse 25, when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit, "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "and I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And so we see a scenario there where we have a person just like us, everyday old guy. He has a son, and he loves that child, and he knows all he's heard about, man, is Jesus is healing people. Jesus is healing people. So he don't know all the details. He might not know a whole lot about church or God or synagogues or anything like that. But all he's heard about is a man, and when he touches them or when he prays for them, things happen. Amen? And so you and I would be the same way. If something was wrong in our life, something wrong in our family life, and we heard about somebody laying hands on and healing the blind and raising the dead, then we would, you know, we would move whatever we could to get there to try to get our child or whatever to heal. So that's all this man does, okay? But then he gets what you see here. Again, what he is, he's honest here. He's being very honest with him. And he says here, he says what? "It has thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And here's Jesus kind of gently rebukes him. And he goes what? He says, "If you can." You know, you hear Jesus say, "If you can." So basically he says, "So you have doubts." And then here's the honesty. Here's the honesty. He says, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father said, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief." Maybe that's what you've got to get right today. You've got to get your overcoming right. You're overcoming your unbelief that you don't think God can answer prayer. Not the way that you think he can, okay? But God can. God can still heal. God still does miracles. God's still in all those businesses, okay? But God does what? We have to be right with God. We have to be in the right spirit with God and led by God to get those situations in our life. So help us with our unbelief. And so what's the key to praying? Here's the key to prayer. Here's what the key is. It's wanting God more than I want my request. That's what it is. It's desiring God and what he wants more than what I want in life. That's what it comes down to, see, because God sees our heart. And so, you know, it's one of those things that all of a sudden we can try to see God as a genie in a bottle, and we just kind of rub the bottle and say, "Give me this, give me this, give me this." And we think we expect it because we come to church and we throw a little money in the offering plate, or we sing a few songs, or we hold our hands up, or, you know, we might help in vacation Bible school or do something like that. So we think, "Well, God, you owe me something." No, listen, God doesn't owe us anything, okay? He's a giver of life. He's the creator of life. What we do is we serve him, okay? We serve him. He doesn't serve us. And so when we come in this worship service, this is not about us. It's about him, and we're worshiping him. And we leave here with a better understanding how to do that. And today we're talking about prayer. And what the key to this is wanting God more than I want anything else in my life. Wanting him more than anything else in my life. And when you want that, let me tell you what. Listen, he'll answer your prayers because he knows you're desiring what he wants. He knows you're desiring what you want or he wants out of your life. So in closing, let's say this. Can God answer my prayers? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, he can answer your prayers. He does answer your prayers. He says yes, he says no, and he says later, but he answers your prayers, okay? Now today, let's say the same thing we did last week. If you're lost and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first prayer he's going to hear, the first prayer he's going to answer is the prayer of salvation, okay? So you lift that prayer. And what do? Is you say, "God, save me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for my sins. And I confess him today as my Lord and as my Savior. And God, I commit my life to you." And when you pray that prayer and you ask God to save you, God answers that prayer. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and that gives you this new relationship with God. It brings you into fellowship with God. And now you begin to lift up those petitions and those intercessions before God, because now he's your loving Heavenly Father. The lesson to learn today is prayer is not anything goes. Prayer is not anything goes. See, the problem today is somebody will take the Bible and they'll read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Then he goes on, he says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." And then they stop and they say, "Well, I've prayed and God didn't answer my prayer, you know, what, like you wanted him to, you know, in your time, in your way, and in your situation." No, God doesn't do that, okay? You need to realize that. Then the application today is God wants me to pray. Why? Because it's spending time with him. It's communicating with him. If you have somebody you love, you want to spend time with them. You want to have that conversation with them. You want to be a part of that life. And always remember this is that God, that prayer brings us on holy ground. We're on holy ground. We come to the Lord in prayer. And we need to do it with a sense of reverence and awe, but we need to be honest with God. And that's what the Psalms teach us how to do, is be honest with God. So maybe today, Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's your first prayer you need to pray today. Is, God, I need you to save me. You know, God, save me. So you're here today, and you need to admit that you're a sinner, and you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins, and you need to confess Him as your Lord and as your Savior. Maybe you've never done that. Listen, you can come to this church or any other church you want to go and still die and go to hell. You realize that, don't you? Walking into a building with a steeple and a cross over it doesn't get you saved, okay? You can get baptized and still go to hell, okay? You need to realize that. You can take the Lord's Supper and still go to hell. We do those things because of our salvation, not for our salvation. Don't ever get that wrong, okay? Why do I come to church? Why do I serve God? Why did I get baptized? Why did I do the Lord's Supper? Why did I do all those things? I do it because of God's love for me, not for His love. God loves you regardless of who you are and what you've done. But we do it for salvation. When we do those things, we're saying, God, I'm appreciative. I thank you for what you've done in my life. And we do those things because of. So maybe here today, you think somehow or another you've got in your mind, but it's showing up at Mount Vernon that now everything's okay. You know, I've done my thing. And so God loves me. And so He surely can't send me to hell. You know, God doesn't send you to hell. You choose to go. See, God, He's giving you truth today. And you can accept it or you can reject it. And you need to realize that. See, but most of us, the majority of us in this room today, are saved. Now, so if we went down through that grocery list of things, are we really right with God? You say, well, brother, my prayers are not being answered, and I don't have those experiences like you talk about, and you know, I don't feel like I'm in touch with God. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong? You say, well, I don't know. Let me tell you what. God will show you what's wrong. He's not, like I said, He's not playing hide and seek with you. He'll show you what's in your life that's wrong, and then you've got to get right, and you've got to desire Him more than you do anything else. And when you get that, like, let me tell you what, you'll begin to see your prayers answered. I've seen many of prayers answered. Okay. And God will answer your prayer, and He'll do things in your life. And all of a sudden, you'll look back years later and say, man, God did that. I mean, that was God. That was God. That was God. That was God. And He's always interworking in our lives, and sometimes we just miss Him because we're not looking for Him, see? So where do you stand today with God? Where's your prayer life with God? Maybe this is the time you need to come get right. You need to come and pray and to say, God, bring me back. Bring me back into that right fellowship. Bring me right where I have that right prayer life with you. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you want me to pray with you or for you about a situation going on in your life, you know. But whatever your need is, you come today. Let's all stand. If you have a need in your life, you come today.
I find